Reverend Winifred Hausman is a Unity minister who wrote a lot of Unity books and articles. And one of them, she tells a story about a teenager in Kansas City who was becoming a pretty renowned horsewoman. She had blue ribbons and trophies arraying the living room of her family's house. And one day somebody asked her, "What do you think about when you're mounted and waiting to ride into the ring when you're at all these horse competitions? Do you pray that you're going to win, or what happens? What do you do to prepare yourself?" And she said, "No, I don't pray to win. I always pray that my horse will do their best." She said that if she and her horse give their best, the very best that they're capable of giving, then they're satisfied, regardless of whether she wins or not. But she did win over and over and over again. And part of it because she didn't think about herself being in competition. She didn't think of herself as having to beat the other riders or to prevail in some way over them, to fight against them individually. So this week we are into the third wind of conflict, which is competition. And competition, another word for competition is rivalry, which gives it kind of more the flavor of what we're looking at when we say that this is a wind of conflict, that it can cause greater sense of conflict by being in that kind of competitive mindset. Most of us will enjoy a little friendly competition. I don't know, anybody play Wordle? Yeah, a lot of, other Wordle players, we're gonna have to compare notes. My sister and I play almost every day, and we always, you know, text back and forth, and there's always a little friendly competition going between us. And it's fun, but is it enjoyable to be in competition in our relationships? Generally not. It's a different thing, isn't it? Because what happens a lot of times in relationships is there are various goals and values and priorities and needs at play, right? Of the various players, if you will, that are involved in the relationship. And they're all kind of jockeying for a place or to be met in some way, to be achieved in some way. And what can happen is we can, because of all that's happening, we might not always communicate about it all. And then some distance can happen between us, right, over time. And then there's that sense of separation that comes, which, remember, that's the first wind of conflict, is separation, a belief in separation. So we begin to act as if we're separate from one another and go it alone, right, to get our needs met, to get our goals achieved, to sort out our priorities. So the problem with that is then it begins to slip even further, and things like manipulation, control, deception can become a part of the relationship dynamic. Because competition is inherently based in the idea of lack consciousness. There can be one winner, right? And then many losers. But the truth is, when we are in this kind of competitive mode with each other, in our relationships with each other, there's never really a winner. It might look like somebody got their needs met, but really, we end up feeling disheartened, disconnected, and everybody loses. There's a high cost. There's a high price to pay when we approach in this way. So what happens with what the competition, what this wind of conflict reveals, is a disconnection of heart and a loss of our sense of purpose. So how can we come back into the place that we want to be within ourselves and within our relationships? It is through purpose. It is through reclaiming, remembering, coming back to, developing, co-creating our purpose, our sense of purpose. Now, in truth, all humans have the same sense of purpose. We all have the same divine purpose. And so it kind of makes it a little bit easier when we go first to the big picture and understand this divine purpose that we all hold, that as humans, we have come here to express the divine, to allow God to manifest on earth through us and as us. So that, if we can frame it in that way, in that understanding that we're all here for that purpose, we've all been given this magnificent physicality, the gift of the body, so that we have the hands and the hearts and the minds and the eyes and the ears and so on, the feet to move about the earth, so that God can know itself. That's why we exist. So God can know itself. If you think of God as just this one energy, this one spirit, how could it know itself? If it's, you know, it's like the fish swimming in water. How could it know the water, right? So it's that sense of the creation of forms that allows the mirroring of relationships and the dance of relationships so this very essence can know itself. So that's our new to-do when we wake up in the morning. We can just write down on our to-do list, oh, mine to do today, to help God know itself. Really gives a little more spring in your step, you know, when you've got that kind of thing going in your life. It doesn't have to feel weighty, but it can feel like important, right? It can feel like I've got a sense of purpose that is very important. I'm here to remind myself, to remember, to acknowledge my innate divinity, and then to live from it, to express from it, to be it, to presence it on earth and everywhere I go. In the Gospel of John, which is known as the Gospel of Love, it begins with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh." And so it's that co-creative process that we are a part of, that we ourselves are that God made flesh, that divine essence made flesh. And that is what we are up to, this high calling of acknowledging our divinity and then expressing so that God can know itself. So centering ourselves in our divine purpose then helps our relationships come into a better sense of shared purpose, of mutuality. I was thinking about the men in our Unity men recently, the Unity bros, recently winning the bocce tournament that, you know, it was a big deal. There's a lot of teams, from what I'm understanding. Good stuff. It's pretty exciting. And Mike was telling me that the commissioner of the league was commenting on how the Unity team, it wasn't about like a star on the team necessarily caring. It was more the spirit of the team. And so our men were acting in the spirit of unity, even cheering the other teams on when they were competing, which you can imagine is sort of a whole different way of being, right? In this kind of, so they were there to have fun, to spread joy. And guess what? They won in the process, right?
Two times.
Not just once, but twice. But it's about that spirit of the greater good, right? And that's what helps when we shift out of competition and into purpose, into remembering why we are doing what we're doing. And if there's any kind of inspired competition, it's with ourselves to do our very best, to bring forth the best of our capability. Gary Simmons, our author, can sometimes be very clear and very, I've met him before, I think he can be very blunt. That's not a judgment, it's actually refreshing for me. Very direct, maybe is a better word to say it. And he says in the book, you are either in the way of God or you are the way of God. It's so clear, isn't it? You are either in the way of God or you are the way of God. And that's true for all of us at any given moment in time. Sometimes we are the way of God, and we know what that feels like when we are the way of God. When you are in the sweet spot of creativity, you know, when you are in that mode of maybe you're in a writing flow, or if you play sports, you get that sweet spot, that moment when your whole body just feels like it's in the flow, or you're creating creating music or whatever it is, you're painting, whatever it may be, dancing, any of that, you know how that feels to be the way of God. When you're loving someone, when you are just really beholding someone. Does anybody ever have that kind of thing? This happens to me, like I'll just be in the house and all of a sudden I'll have this burst of love for somebody in my life. You have that? Yeah, some of you are nodding your heads, yeah. So you know that feeling, right? It's just like your heart just opens all of a sudden with a thought about somebody and you feel the love flow through your heart. That's the way of God. I can't help but even if you don't tell that person, knowing that they feel that in that moment, because there is that connection happening because you got out of the way and God has its way through us and as us. So, and we know what it feels like to be in the way, and we know what it looks like to be in the way, right? Those are times when we're being stubborn or dishonest or blaming or judging, and that kind of energy or just plain negative in some way. But it's the opposite when we are being kind, when we are sharing kind words, when we are in that flow of love, when we are in gratitude and expressing gratitude, all of that the way. So I want to invite you into a moment of visualization so you can maybe experience both of those things in a different way. So just invite you, if you wish to participate, to perhaps close your eyes, if that helps you, and to drop into that place that feels like home to you, your center, the place where you call in and note and experience the presence. And just breathing for a few moments into that presence. Now imagine, if you will, that you are picking up a child and holding them in a warm embrace. This may be a child you know and love already, or just perhaps a child that needs comfort that could use a hug. And just imagine yourself holding that child close to you, feeling the mutual love flowing between you. You might even feel them gripping a little tighter. This child's need to feel unconditional love opens your heart, and you give even more freely and fully. And as divine love flows through you to the child, you know that you are being the way of God. There is no lack, there's nothing missing, only love in abundance. And now I invite you to release that experience and imagine someone standing before you now who has hurt you or treated you unfairly. What happens inside of you now? Are you starting to get in God's way? Remember, this person needs the same unconditional love that you just gave so freely to that child. And so recenter in divine love. See if you can be the way of God just for this exercise. And notice what happens in you and between you. How does it feel? And now releasing this situation and just letting that love flow through your heart freely once again, for you and as you. And when you're ready, coming back into this space. In the face of any conflict or challenge, we can simply ask ourselves, how could I get out of the way of God? And how could I get in the way? How could I be the way of God? Being in the way of God means accepting others just as they are. It means being unconditional love. And those are really high calls for us. And they are ones that we can indeed achieve, a noble purpose for all of us. It's a one we all share. In 1916, May Rowland was appointed the director of Silent Unity by co-founder of Unity, Myrtle Fillmore. Silent Unity is Unity's international prayer ministry, by the way, if you don't know that. And she stayed in that role for 55 years. She said this about purpose. Our purpose in life is not to live, rear a family, be a banker, a doctor, a storekeeper. These are all secondary purposes. The first purpose for which God created us is to express God, to develop our spiritual character. When we become aware of this primary purpose, then we can put something real and alive and useful into our secondary purpose and become successful. So this is a person who clearly understood her primary and her secondary purpose. She, in that role, I imagine it was a perfect match for her soul to express as the director of Silent Unity for all those years. And some of us will discover that secondary purpose, and some of us will live a more generalized path. But what's key is the primary purpose, right? It's the how. It's not so much what we do, but the how that we do it. May Rowland was a legend. I worked at Silent Unity as a prayer associate 28 years after she retired, and the stories were still told about her. My favorite story was this, the time when there was a Kansas City storm coming toward Unity Village. If you've lived in or been in the Midwest, or if you watched Wizard of Oz, you probably know how fierce those kinds of storms can be. And one of these was coming where the whole sky was darkened. And May, they say, marched out of the Silent Unity building. I imagine it was very windy and her robes were flowing in the wind, you know. And she faced that blackened sky, and there were Silent Unity employees who streamed out of the building behind her. And just like when Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you say to this mountain, move, and it will move. May told that storm to move, and it moved. It's that kind of knowing, it's that kind of grounding in our primary purpose to be the embodiment of the divine that doesn't stop us at all then from springing forth from there to be the soul expression, that secondary purpose that comes forth from it. But it's all about how and less about what we do in the world. It's all about how we show up in this way. So, How do we do it? How do we embody that? What are some of the steps we can take? Let's walk through that, because that grounding in the primary purpose is really the key. So we can align with our divine purpose through the power of affirmative prayer. One of our key practices in Unity is affirmative prayer. And this is very simple steps to it. There's a centering, right? There's an allowing ourselves to do what we've done several times together today already, a dropping in, a feeling the presence. And then there's a step of release, of getting whatever it is, ourselves or whatever it is specifically, out of the way. So renouncing, if it's fear that's come up, this fear has no power over me. If it's anxiety, whatever it is, it's a claiming that this gets out of my way, right? I'm getting that storm out of the way so that I can be in the eye of the storm, which is in that place of calm, that place of truth, that place of center. And then we affirm whatever is, you know, make firm whatever it is that we want to bring forth. I am the way of God. That knowing, I'm stepping into that now. I am the way of God. Divine love flows through me. I live in the way of abundance. I have everything I need. When we remember we have everything we need, that we have, that we are everything that we need, there is no need for competition. There is no need for lack consciousness. We are in the place of abundance. We are in the place of shared purpose. So when we move then to the expression of our own soul, we might do that by getting guidance. There might be some specific guidance that comes our way of a way to show up or something to do. It could be as specific as a vocation or a career or just the way to show up in any given moment in time. Sometimes we don't know what that thing is and we struggle to find what that sense of our individualized purpose is. In those cases, sometimes it's good to do what Neil Donald Walsh long ago suggested. Just try it out. Take a direction. Move. Take an action. Move in a direction that maybe of something you're interested in or you've been interested before, and just see what happens as you step in. And as you step in, then you feel into that. And doors tend to open. The way is made clear if it is your path. And if it's not, then we choose again. We don't have to complicate it or make it heavy or difficult. And we don't have to know, again, the what so much, the secondary purpose so much, because that first primary purpose is what is so important. We can be the presence wherever we go. We can presence the presence wherever we go. And when we bring that kind of energy into any situation, we can help heal whatever is there. We can help bring peace or harmony to any conflictual situation, to any challenge that might be present for us. And then finally, finding that shared divine purpose in our relationships, again, that centering, the bringing in the presence, but also then recalling what we want to experience together. What brought us together? That initial love, that initial attraction, that initial work together, that initial sense of value together, shared purpose, right? There is a shared purpose. So coming back to that, and then always reminding us in any relationship, in any group, we're on the same team. It's so easy to forget that, right? And then to start, you know, getting up in each other's faces, so to speak, and forgetting that, oh, that's right, we're on the same team. We're rallying for the same cause. For Brenly and I, my wife Brenly and I, we use a practice that really helps us ground, which is called counsel. And in the way we practice with just the two of us, which also is done in groups and some of you have experienced, is it really, part of it is setting up the ritual. Part of it is the whole ceremony of it. For me anyway, it's like lighting the candle, finding an object that we're going to use as a talking piece. And then there's a second object, which is actually often called the third. And that second object represents the essence of God watching over the relationship, protecting the relationship, and also that third entity of love that is created by two or more people coming together. It's a unique kind of soul expression, if you will. So during the council, sometimes, rarely, but sometimes somebody will actually pick up the piece and speak for the third. Usually it's a back and forth of the individual piece. So as we come out, we sit in silence. As we come out of the silence, whoever feels guided to speak takes a talking piece. The other person listens, and we just speak from the heart and listen from the heart until we feel complete. There doesn't have to be a problem. It doesn't, you know, that's part of it. It's not set up to resolve, it can be to resolve conflict, but it doesn't need to be that. The purpose can be about connection and heart sharing, getting connected with ourselves, getting connected with the divine, and getting connected to the spirit and shared purpose of the relationship. Remembering again. So the way of divine purpose opens us up both to the allness of God, to that first principle of unity, and to the eachness of God, to the expression of the I am that we each have come here to be. And all of that, when we take competition and lack out of it, we all win in that kind of approach. There is no need for conflict because we are rallying together. We are collaborating and working together toward a shared purpose. The Hindu mystic Patanjali, who they say lived somewhere around 200 BC, said this is what happens inside of us when we are living on purpose. When you are inspired by some great purpose, all your thoughts break their bonds. Your mind transcends limitations, your consciousness expands in every direction, and you find yourself in a whole new, wonderful world. Dormant forces and faculties and talents become alive, and you discover yourself to be a greater person than you ever dreamed of being. We are not in competition. We are on divine purpose. And it's time to allow those dormant forces to awaken so that we can all remember that we are one human family, that we share one beautiful earth home, that we are all in this together, and that we can come in the spirit of that kind of togetherness and greater good in every one of our individual relationships as well. Yeah? Yes. And when we do that, when we get out of the way and become the way of God, all the things we speak of, our vision for the world, our mission, it comes to fruition. We get to step into that new and wonderful world. So let's do that together. Let's really work this idea this week of shifting out of competition, healing competition, and moving back into divine purpose. I invite you to affirm with me these truths. Together, I am the way of God. I align with divine purpose, express from it, and presence it in all my relationships. Thank you, and thanks to everyone tuning in online.